I believe that song, He Will Not Fail Me Now. I don't believe the Lord's ever failed anybody. And I don't believe He'll fail you, and I don't believe He'll fail me. I thank the Lord for that. You know, this morning, there's some scriptures over in Psalm 73 and 23 I just want to start with. Been praying through the week that the Lord would give us words for us this morning. I'm still kind of building on last week. I believe the Lord wants to establish and strengthen and settle us, the young as well as the old. And He wants to reveal His secrets to us, the secrets of living for the Lord. You know, the Lord has secrets this morning. He has things that He would really like to reveal to our hearts that endears Himself to us. In Psalm 73 and 23, it starts, He says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." This morning I just want to think about a very simple thought. I wrote on the board, "Look up." Saints, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to look up. You know, the scripture here says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee." I believe the Lord wants us to look to Him this morning. He wants our desire to be to Him because He wants to fill us with good things. Did you know that's God's desire this morning, is to fill your heart and life with the good things of God? That's His heart and desire toward every soul that has been born. He has wanted everyone to be filled with His goodness, to be filled with the things that make life and eternity right, to be filled with the peace of God, to be filled with the confidence and the faith that God is in control of our life and in control of things. The writer here, when you look back in the chapter just a little bit, you realize he's saying some words here when he said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" Because he starts this out and he says, verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Have you ever felt that way this morning? You ever felt like your feet had almost slipped out from under you spiritually? Well, this person felt that way. And they said, I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I started looking around. And I realized the prosperity of wicked men. They had everything, and yet they were so wicked. And here I had been living for God and a righteous life and doing my best as a poor child of God. And it seemed like it said I was envious at the wicked. I saw them, and it just looked like a better deal. And he said my feet had almost slipped. And he says this, he said, "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." They don't fear God, some of them, and they just go on out. And they go out in all their pomp, and it said, "They're not in trouble as other men." Now, we know that's not nearly always the case, but "neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They could have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." You know, this morning, this person, this writer, says the Psalm of Asaph, got their eyes on the wrong thing, didn't they? They got their eyes off of the Lord and started looking around in the world and started looking. And I want to, again, I'm talking somewhat, of course, to all of us, but somewhat, we have a number that's gotten saved lately. Listen, folks, you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Especially when we first get saved, there is a temptation to see the things, the friends we left behind. Sometimes it seems that they have more than us. We are having to make restitutions. We are having to deal with issues. We are having to humble ourselves and change our way and make apologies sometimes. I want to tell you something. Surely it will be well with the righteous. Get your eyes off of the beggarly elements of this world and put them up on the Lord. If you want to know the secret to living for God, it's not all that complex, but it's hard to do sometimes because of the flesh. We want to lower our eyes and look around, and we start to sink, don't we, when we do that. The Lord wants us to put our eyes on Him. This 22nd verse, just before the ones we read at first, says, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." What an ignorant thing for me to do until he came into the house of God and he began to see the end of the wicked. You know, the Lord wants us to keep our eyes on that. The Lord wants us to know that surely it will be well with the righteous. Surely he has a place prepared for us. And surely it won't be well with the wicked in the end. I believe the Lord wants us to keep our eyes on those things. Listen to this in Luke, the 21st chapter. The Lord himself gives us some things here. Luke 21 and 26. And he says here, well, the scriptures I'm wanting, I'm in 22, okay. "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaking. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass..." Now, the Lord told us there were some things that were going to come to pass. And he said men's hearts would be failing them for fear of the things coming on the earth. And he tells us also that there will be perplexity. There will be days at the end of time that we're going to see. And he said, when you see these days begin to approach, he said here, they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want us to think just a little bit about that this morning. Saints, the Lord wants us to look up. He wants us to realize our redemption is drawing nigh. You know what that redemption is? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about what the redemption is? You ever thought about when the Lord's going to redeem us clear back to himself? I know he's redeemed us from sin, but I will tell you, I have my heart set. There's going to be a day when the Lord's coming back. And I believe this, 30 seconds inside heaven, and I'm going to understand it all. The toils of the road will seem as nothing. You know what? The Lord wants us to keep our eyes on that goal. He wants us to keep our eyes up there. "Lift up your heads," he said, "and look up, because your redemption draweth nigh." There's something coming your way, and the Lord wants us to keep it in mind. Don't lose track of it. It's real important to us. Lift up your heads. Don't look at the things that it says here that men, their hearts will be failing them to see the things coming on the earth. I wonder what all we're going to see. I wonder, we've seen a lot already, haven't we? But I believe we're coming very close to the very end of time. And I will tell you, the Lord wants us to hold our heads up, saints. Look up. Our redemption's drawing nigh. It's coming close. And there's going to come that time that the angel's going to say, time shall be no more. And you know, then you think about that. You think about what that's going to mean to the people of God. Lift up your heads. That redemption is drawing nigh this morning. In John 14 and 1, the Lord gives us another little promise here. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I'll tell you what the Lord wants us to think on. He wants us to think on things above. And this is some of those things. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Have you ever let those words sink into your heart? I am going, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. That's where I'm going. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many places that the Lord is preparing. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will tell you, that matters to me. I think about that every little while. It's on my mind. I've lived when I got sick, and I was so sick. I told my children and my wife, I've lived every day of my life for over 30 years for this day. And when that day comes, I don't want anybody taking it from me. I've lived for that. You know, I know that's not, there's people here that's lived a lot longer than that for the Lord. But I will tell you, I've lived my life for that day. I'm looking for that day. The Lord wants our hearts and our minds. You know, there's room there for praising the Lord and for excitement. I know we've mentioned before a number of times about when people are in love and they travel 1,200 miles on a weekend and come back for work Monday morning and just for a few hours to see them, and it's well worth it to them. I will tell you, sometimes life may feel like that, but keep your eye on the prize. It'll be well worth it. And I believe even here, the Lord makes it worth it. But sometimes there's times we have to lift up our eyes. Hebrews 12 and 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses it's talking about? You know, it mentions a whole lot of them there in the chapter, the 11th chapter before. And it talks about, it says, others, let's see, women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, all in the same sentence, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, we follow people and we see many wonderful things that God did for His people. How He delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. How He delivered the three Hebrew children out of the fire. And so many places. And we see those deliverances today, don't we? We see God deliver like that. But it says some were stoned and sawn asunder. And some wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. But I will tell you what they had in mind. They saw something more than this life. And if we are going to make it, we're going to have to get our eyes up off of this life. Because whether the Lord works miraculous deliverances for us, and we have seen Him do it many times, or whether we are sawn asunder and wander about, afflicted and destitute and all of those things, I will tell you, there's coming a day, folks, that is worth keeping our mind on, keeping our heart on. You want to make it? Put your heart on it. I'm going to make it to heaven by the grace of God. I'm going to make it through. If I feel tempted, if I feel tried, if I feel afflicted or whatever, I'm going to make it through by the grace of God. This morning, I just want to encourage us, get your eyes up onto the things of the Lord, onto the things God has promised us. I just wrote a little list here. If you're sad, what do you look at? If you're sad, what do you look at? You look at your sadness? You look at the thing that you're sad for? The loss you've taken? Or the thing that's not going well? Do we look at that? The Lord tells us to look up. Look up if we're sad. If you're tired, look up. Look up to the Lord. Keep your eyes on God. If you're happy and rejoicing, look up to the Lord. You know, the Lord prospers many times. I see lots of people prosper. That's wonderful. Look up and thank God for it. Don't look to the prosperity. Just like we don't look to the sadness. Don't look to that. That's a blessing of God to be given, to be used as He would. That's a blessing, isn't it? But don't get your eyes fastened on it. You know, if we're happy, thank God for it. But keep looking up. I'm going to heaven. This happy day, it might one day be a sad day. I'm still going to look up. It's not going to change what I do. Look up and praise the Lord. I believe God wants us to do that. He wants praises to come out of our hearts, out of our mouth, and out of our lips. We talked about that song a while ago about praising the Lord and being willing to do that. If you're discouraged, what do you look at? Do you look at your discouragement? Do you look at, well, I just don't see how I can make it. I want to tell you what to do in those times. Get alone with God and start calling on Him. And get your eyes off your discouragement and put them on the Lord. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Lord, have mercy. For Christ's sake, have mercy. Help me to get my mind up above that. I want to tell you what God will do. And He will begin to do in your life if you will learn to do that. Holding your eyes up on Him through all the things of life. He'll do the same as He did for Peter. When Peter was out there, and we all know the story and how the Lord bid him, come to me, yeah. Or he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And so he started walking on the water until he looked down and saw that. And he began to sink beneath that. And the Lord reached out, and of course he took his hand. But you know, he'll do that for us. But this morning, I want to encourage us, get with God and begin to call out to Him. And all the voices that call, all the discouragement or whatever it may be, or the prosperity that's trying to crowd in our mind, get with the Lord and press through that. Lord, I want Your word this morning. I want Your help today. I need You to give me a scripture. And you know what God loves to do? He loves to begin to talk to you at times like that. But lots of times I have found, not every time, but lots of times, you have to press through to get to that place. Press through. Lord, I'm setting my heart on You. I got to have something from You. I've got to lift up my eyes to You. I need Your strength today. I need something I don't have. I'm not strong enough for this battle. But You are. And see, what You're doing is you're lifting your eyes from your trouble and you're putting them up to God. And you're trusting in Him. And what will happen is, then when God begins to help you, it's not even a temptation, really, most of the time, very little, to ever take that glory. Because you know how you needed God and how He met your need. And your life begins to become a continuous pattern of God putting in grace, putting in help, putting in strength. Your life becomes like that. It becomes like that, like the oyster that has a beautiful pearl in it. How does that happen? It is irritated time after time, and it has another coating put on that pearl. And the more it happens, the bigger the pearl gets. The Lord doesn't plan on the things that would cause our eyes to go down, whether it's the waves, whether it's the tragedy, or whether it's the prosperity. The Lord never plans on our eyes to come down to that level. He wants our eyes to be lifted up to Him. Our trust is in You. Lord, our trust is that You will carry us through. Our trust is that You will give us grace to face the trial. Our trust is that, I don't know, this battle seems way bigger than me, but I know one thing, it's not bigger than You. And you know, when we get our eyes up off of our trial and get them on God, and God requires us to do that. He really does. He requires us to lift our eyes to Him, and we begin to trust in Him. And when we do, He begins to work in our life. And He will endear Himself to us time after time. And we will say, I have no idea how that worked out. God did it. That's how. He gives grace, doesn't He? If you're persecuted, look up. If you're oppressed, look up to the Lord. Get your eyes off of it. Well, yeah, but why? Get your eyes up to the Lord. The Lord wants to have your eyes. He wants to have your trust. And when you do, He'll begin to build within you a beautiful pearl that is actually a wonderful, costly, and valuable thing that the devil can't just snatch away easily. If you're tempted, what do? I'm tempted. Look up. No man likes to be tempted that wants to live righteous. Look up to the Lord. Lord, I'm tempted. Lord, I need You. I need Your grace. That's why God allowed the temptation, or He would not have allowed it. He would not allow something to destroy us, but He will allow something to draw us closer to Him. Lord, I need Your grace. I need Your strength. I need Your power and authority over the devil. Doesn't He have it this morning? Yes, He does. And He wants us to look up. He wants us to look to the Scriptures, to the promises. Quote them. You notice when Jesus got in His battle, what did He do? He said, it is written. And He quoted to the devil something. Stand on the promises. You're afflicted? Quote some promises to God. Lord, You promised to sustain me. You promised to give us what we need in this time. You promised healing. You know, the Lord, He doesn't always heal people, but I will tell you, He always visits, and He will do that. The Lord loves to help us. He loves to help us. Get your eyes up, folks. Get your eyes up. It's the way to life. The Lord gave us, I'll read the promise first, in John 3:14, right after these verses we love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe in Him. We will not perish. We lift our eyes to Him, put our trust in Him, live for Him. We will not perish, because He will sustain us. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that a wonderful promise this morning? That the world might be saved. We can work with people because of the assurance that the Lord wants to save them. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. I'm going to drop back. 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. How was that? What was lifted up in the wilderness? A serpent was lifted up in the wilderness? Why would a serpent be lifted up? Why would a snake be put on a pole? Well, let's read that story. I want to read it to us this morning. Just a few verses of it anyway. And He said, as that snake was lifted up, He said, so that he also would be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, He isn't like a snake, but I will tell you, He's lifted up just like that. He was put on a pole, wasn't He? He was put on a cross for us, that we might be saved. That we might be saved. Not our neighbor, not just our neighbor, but that's for us too. We can make it, folks. The Lord wants us to make it, and we will make it if we keep our eyes on Him. I have no doubt about it in my heart. I know we will all make it if we keep our eyes on Him, no matter how great the battle. In verse 5 of chapter 21 of Numbers, it says, "And the people spake against God." Listen to this. The people spake against God and against Moses. They started complaining on a large scale. "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." They didn't like the manna, they said. "And the Lord, it says, sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." You know, these people died because of their own sin. These people were bitten by serpents as a result of their own transgression. But you know what the Lord did for them? It says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses," listen to what he told Moses to do, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a certain serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. What if he didn't look up to the serpent? What if he didn't look up? He died. You know, this morning, we are just like that. If we look up to the Lord, we will live. If we look upon the bites that have of sin, the things of the past, the things that afflict us, from if we have done things that haunt us, whatever it is, maybe people have sinned and come short and done things. You can live this morning. That is the promise. The Lord said, the Lord himself said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so Jesus was put on that cross for a reason. So we could look upon Him and trust in Him, and we would be healed of our sin. It is for everyone this morning. I just want to challenge you. Why should you sink and die and die a spiritual death when you can look to the Lord and live? How many times have we all had to look up to the Lord and bring our gaze up from the things that had us fixed on it? The things that, how can we look away from this? It's in my mind. I go to sleep. It's bothering me at night. You know what the Lord wants us to do? Get a hold of Him. Stay on our knees a while, maybe. Or begin to just lift up our hearts to the Lord. Maybe we're not on our knees. Maybe we're driving. "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me." You know, the Lord wants to hear our cry. I was struck by what Brother Leslie said here a few weeks ago in the meeting, how that he said he wanted the Spirit of the Lord so much, and he had failed and been a failure, and the enemy was a working on him. And he said he went from that altar, he began to call out to God while he was plowing, while he was working, while he was going about all the time, "Lord, I want your Spirit. Lord, I want you to help me." And you know, he began to call out to God. You know what he did? He got his eyes up. And you know what God did? He met his need. That's what he always does. That's what God always does this morning. I just want us to take that into our heart. But it comes when we die to our own things that we're looking to, things that we're trusting in, things that are troubling us, and we truly lift our eyes to God. And we take His way. I will tell you, when you do that, I believe it works every single time without fail. That's the way and the will of the Lord. Oh, how the Lord loves to meet the needs of His people. And how many times, those of us that have served the Lord for a while, how many times have we seen Him do it over and over and over again? And He has no partiality toward some of us. He wants to do that for every one of us. But we have to get our eyes off the battle, and we have to get them up on the Lord. In 1 Kings 18, this is a little different aspect, but I want to look at what happened here. Elijah had prayed or spoken or whatever, and it had not rained for over 3 years in Israel. And he came back and he met with Ahab. And that was when all the prophets of Baal were slain, and fire came down from God and consumed his sacrifice. And after that, he told Ahab, there's a sound of an abundance of rain. And he said, starting in verse 41 of 18, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. I will tell you what Elijah was doing. He was looking to God. He got real humble and he put his face between his knees and he began to call upon God. Lord, it's time to send rain. We need rain here. And he told his servant, he said, you go look toward the sea. And you know, sometimes we think, well, I prayed it and that's enough. I want to tell you, Jesus prayed all night sometimes. And sometimes we have to press the battle. He said, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again. 7 times. He did that 7 times. Because he was expecting God to answer his prayer. The Lord wants us to come to him in faith, believing. Those things that you promised us, they are mine. I will tell you, not everybody will do that. But even back there long ago, there was a couple of fellows that were willing, weren't they? All right. And it came to pass at the 7th time. That he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. That was all Elijah needed. There's coming up a cloud. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You know, this morning, we have to look sometimes 7 times. We have to keep on looking to the Lord. But I will tell you, I have found, I really believe in this. We have to keep on praying sometimes. Keep on your knees. Your mind can't get settled down. Decide, I'm going to press myself to that place. I want to get my mind clear where the Lord can begin to speak. And you know, after a while, it's just like this. All of a sudden, the Lord just begins to speak, doesn't He? And He begins to give instruction. Maybe He'll give a message. Maybe He'll give us a scripture. You know, the Lord wants to speak to us. But we've got to get our eyes. He could have looked all around at the desolate, parched, 3 years without rain. I can only imagine what it looked like. No dew or rain. It was parched. He could have looked at that, but he didn't. He put his head between his knees and he said, Lord. And he began to call upon God. And the Lord did that, didn't he? How many things does the Lord want to do for us? I'm convinced. He wants to answer prayers all the time. The Lord loves to do that. But I will tell you, if we just spoke and said for this to happen and that to happen, we would think we were pretty good. But I'll tell you, when you get your head between your knees, and you call out a bunch of times to the Lord, and then He begins to work, all the credit goes to Him. He knows what He's doing by drawing us up close like that. He knows what He's doing by humbling us. He knows what He's doing by letting the battle be bigger than us. He did it on purpose. He allowed it on purpose. Not that He just wanted it to be so, but He allowed it. Because He wants us to come close so we can see what the Lord will do. He wants to do that in our lives this morning. It matters where we look. Look away. Look away from the things that trouble us. I thought about the scriptures in Luke 24, where the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. And you know, they were walking along, and it said Jesus drew near to them and went with them. They didn't know who it was. And He said, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" You know, Jesus knew they were sad, and He knew exactly why. You know what? He began to talk to them. And what He did was, He began to unfold to them His whole plan. He began to tell them from the prophets, and it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." That starts at Luke 24 and 13. But you know, the Lord began to expound to them, and He began to tell them all of these things. You know, this was all in His plan, wasn't it? For Him to suffer and die, and they were so sad, "Our hope is gone. You haven't heard what's happened in Jerusalem lately. You know, we had trusted that this had been the Savior." And the Lord began to talk to them and tell them some things. The Lord wants to talk to us today too. He wants to tell us some things. He wants to expound to us some things we never thought of before. And He wants to walk along by our side. Maybe we won't even perceive that it's the Lord sometimes. Psalm 134 in the Evening Light book. Listen to what these verses say. "Is thy troubled heart oppressed, heavy laden, sick and sore, by the cares of life distressed? Plead the promise o'er and o'er, over and over, plead the promise. Does thy star of hope grow dim? Canst thou face the stormy gale? Can you face what's happening? Teach thy heart this sacred hymn. Through His grace I shall prevail." Look away across the sea to that shining golden strand. Then with shouts of victory, firmly clasp His proffered hand. Soon thy happy soul shall be in that verdant summer land. I want to tell you, we have to keep that in mind. That's a vital part of this whole picture, that verdant summer land. "Is the threatening tempest near?" Verse 2. "Beams His promise bright as day. Keep it ringing sweet and clear. I'll be with thee all the way." Keep the promises ringing in our hearts. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Listen to the scriptures and let them speak to us day by day. "I'll be with thee all the way. When the rolling thunders peal, when the billows leap and foam, with thy faith His promise seal, singing, one day nearer home." Lived all our life for this thing, one day closer. Tomorrow I'll be one day closer, until one day we'll be there, won't we? "When you reach that Eden blessed, all thy tears He'll wipe away." You believe that this morning? You believe that? I do. "Sweeter far will be thy rest for the victories won today. Does the toilsome night seem long? Teach thy trusting heart to wait. Ere the breaking of the dawn, you may reach the pearly gate." Look away across the sea to that shining golden strand. Then with shouts of victory, firmly clasp His proffered hand. Soon thy happy soul shall be in that verdant summer land. Oh, I decided long when I was young, I want to make it. If I have to crawl to heaven, I want to make it. And there's been some times I felt like I was crawling. There's been lots of times I've been singing along the way. But I will tell you, the Lord wants to take us all to heaven. He doesn't want us to fail to make it there. He doesn't want our head to hang down and hang down. He wants to put joy in our heart because He spoke to us, because He gave a word, because He lifted us up. He wants to put a song in our heart. But I will tell you, we have to lift our eyes up just as those people did from those fiery serpents and those snakes. They had to lift their eyes up. It was required of them. If they didn't do it, they could not live. But you know, the Lord is the same. I believe that. We have to lift our eyes up to Him. We have to get them off of our battle here. We have to get them off of our fears here. What we're afraid of, get your eyes off of it. Get them up on the Lord. I've never seen Him fail. I don't believe He ever will fail. He won't fail us, and He'll take us through if we'll put our eyes on Him. Amen.